Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 53.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 53. How to Harmonize Melodies, Part 2. I am your host, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for being here with me today and listening to this episode. So, as I usually say in the beginning of the podcast, if you're new listening to this podcast, we're affiliated with a website, jazzpianoschool.com. That was a website, or is a website, I created with a full course curriculum education on jazz piano. Videos, lesson text, workbook text in a step-by-step format. Now, as I went through my journey, my jazz piano school journey, I found it very frustrating because all the resources were kind of all over the place. And ever since I started teaching, students have said the same thing. And I eventually ended up creating Jazz Piano School to help progress students or anyone interested in learning jazz piano in more of a step-by-step organized and structured manner. So you have all your practice resources, you have your practice elements, and you simply need to follow the roadmap. So, this is a podcast. I'm going to kind of just go over a couple things in the beginning. If you, I like to respond to, you know, my followers and things like that, or the comments I receive, and not many people know, but obviously, you know, the internet these days has, is a place for followers and people to critique things. And I have no problem with that. And I like to really go deeper into certain elements, but I do like to kind of give tips. For people, I'm a people pleaser. You know, I always like to try and do my best. I like to try and make the best education possible. You know, I want people to be amazed by what I'm providing. So, again, the talk in the beginning of this podcast, I've been getting kind of a lot of comments like, "Oh, Brendan, don't talk so much. Don't talk so much in the beginning." I completely understand that. I don't want to bore you to death. The podcast originally, you know, is an audio-based format of education, right? So what I do here is I film the lessons, but you can also listen to the lessons on iTunes. That's the main source or delivery source for this education, right? Is if you're going to the gym, you're in your car, you don't have the opportunity to watch. For all the YouTube video, for all the YouTube watchers out there of the lesson video, if you're not happy with the lesson text, or excuse me, the beginning of the video, or if you think I'm talking too much, because I am going to talk, you know, I'm going to tell about upcoming products, things like that, services we're working on for Jazz Piano School. I kind of like to, you know, just inform people about my life. Just go ahead and skip over it. You know, just fast forward through the video. Probably around the 10-minute mark, you can skip that spiel. And that's what I usually do for podcasts, great podcasts, because they, you know, we tend to do the same thing in the beginning, or, you know, just do some house cleaning, like, hey, here's what we're working on, here's what just happened, right? If you just want to cut to the, you know, educational material, just go ahead and skip over this part, right? You can use the slider on the YouTube player. Just go to about the 10-minute mark and then find where I launch right into the education, and you can get started with that. But I'm really excited to announce that we're getting really close to launching the Jazz Piano School solo piano system. And that's going to be just simply phenomenal. I'm really proud of the work I put into this. And for the most part, people learning solo piano, it's very difficult. When I learned solo piano, it's just a difficult process. How do we arrange our hands on the keyboard? You know, where do I put the melody? Where do I put my extensions? Where do I put my voicings? You know, how do I get the bass notes in there? There's just so many components, right? Because in solo piano, we have to accompany everything. So there's so many working components, and I finally put together a flow chart for people who are interested, where you can follow, you know, kind of a create your own solo piano arrangement by saying, okay, if I want to play a bass note here, then, you know, my chord might go up here with a certain left-hand component. Right? Or if I want to just play 1 and 3, I can do this, right? So it's kind of a pick and choose your own arrangement, but it allows you to create rich, colorful arrangements that over time, right, with all jazz standards, you can use this kind of template to create your harmonies and then simply express exactly what you want through your solo piano. It's just fantastic. It brings you through so many things. So I just want to kind of announce that. That's going to be coming in mid-October. If you have questions, feel free to email us, info@jazzpianoschool.com. So in this episode, I'm going to be going over happy birthday, right? And in the last episode, I went over Twinkle Twinkle, and that was fun. One of the comments that we got in some of the emails that we got sent to us was on the arrangements of the voicings. How do you know what chord to choose? Basically, if you're holding a melody note, do you have to play in the rhythm of the melodies? Can you arrange it however you want? Some people were, you know, questioning the voicings or, you know, the extensions to use with reharm. And as far as that goes, I never want to, my school of thought and my opinion to all you guys listening is that I never want to prohibit you from playing anything, okay? So if you want to voice something the way you want it to be, I'm not going to be the one to tell you, no, you can't do it, right? I don't want to cage anybody. That is not my intention. I want to make that very clear because I encourage all of you to play whatever you want. Now, my goal is to provide you with tools that will allow you to break out of your box, right? Because otherwise, if you don't have the tools, then you're simply guessing, right? And by guessing, you're going to find things. Of course, I can wander through the forest. Am I going to find things? Yes. But if I'm trying to get to a specific point, it's going to take me much, much longer to wander through that forest and find it myself, as opposed to having a guide and a roadmap to get to that specific point. I mean, if people tell me things are important on a roadmap, I'm going to say, hey, okay, I want to go over here. Now, is there a time for exploration and wandering? Absolutely. Absolutely. But to do that, certain things, you know, need to come into place and kind of attach each other, right? So I'm encouraging everything. I'm an all person. Be all you can be. Do all you can do, right? Learn as much as you can. I'm never the type of person who's going to say no to anything. And so this is why we are on a podcast, because I'm talking up a storm. Actually, if you go to jazzpianoschool.com, there's a 7-day free trial there in which I don't talk like this, right? So you can go there, and the educational videos is me starting the video and launching right into the education. But again, I enjoy doing the podcast because I like to speak with all of you. You send me emails. It's a good way for me to connect with all of you. You hear my story and things that are going on in my life. So anyway, back to this. When we harmonize something, if you want to harmonize a melody, you can harmonize it however you want. I don't want to cage you in any way. So happy birthday, right? I was trying to decide the key here. So when we go to harmonize something, right? If you want to harmonize a melody note with, I'm just going to place my hands down randomly, right? Or go for it, right? There's many things, just a little note, in my jazz career that I was like, oh, that doesn't sound good. And then later on, my ear adapted to it, right? And I said, oh, okay, I like that. Is everyone going to like that voicing? No. But that's not, you know, you have to kind of make that decision. Are you playing to, more to express yourself or more to be a crowd pleaser? Because I can always play nice melodies, but, you know, maybe some voicing like, right? To me, that sounds great. To other people listening who aren't used to that type of harmony, that's not going to be great. So anyway, back to happy birthday. Sorry, F. When you play Happy Birthday, okay, or any other tune, we can take a different couple, some different options, right? We can harmonize Happy Birthday. We can harmonize every melody note if we want, right? And in the key of F, we have certain chords that are going to obviously relate to the key of F. Now, by playing Happy Birthday and harmonizing every melody note with a chord outside of the key, it's not really going to sound like Happy Birthday anymore, okay? So you got to keep that in mind, because if your goal is to create an arrangement that's completely outside of the box, then go for it. if you want a cool, hip way to play Happy Birthday for a birthday party that people will recognize, but you have some jazz chords in there, then that's a different project as well, right? So you'll want to add more diatonic chords and certain harmonies that fit more within the key of F. So if I go to play Happy Birthday and I want an outside the box harmonization, I can harmonize every melody note within the chord so that that melody note works. This C, I really want to make this clear and speak about this. This C can work in any single chord, right? It's a hard concept to understand, but this note, right? All those notes can work in any single type of chord. So what do I mean by that? We can play I'm gonna take this C, I can make an A flat major 7 out of it. It can be the third. I can make this the sharp 9 of an A7 dominant chord. I can make this the minor major of a D flat minor major chord. Right? Add some other things in there as well. I can make this the sharp 11 of a G flat major chord. Right? Now, as I move the melody, you don't necessarily need to change the chord, but the D, right? That melody note D is also giving you other harmonies if you continuously use the G flat as a root. So you really need to kind of look at what it's giving you, these two melody notes. Now, in a G flat major 7 sharp 11 chord, right, you have a couple characteristics that build a chord. So in a G flat major 7, you have 1, 3, 5, and 7. Now, if I have the melody note here, right, it's gonna rub with the 5. Now again, here's where I come to my point again. If you want to use this sound, go for it. Go for it, I'm not stopping. You could play Happy Birthday just sitting on this G flat major chord. And some of you guys listening to this podcast are gonna be like, wow, Brendan's really lost it today. But if that's what you like, I'm not gonna stop you, okay? So what do we wanna do though to create some fun chords and movements is, this C works well as the sharp 11 on that chord. Now if I were to stay on this G flat major 7 chord, I probably wouldn't recommend that if you want it to sound slightly like Happy Birthday, right? That's gonna be a very strange thing. But we could go, we could resolve it to a chord in F. So again, remember, your goal is to find chords that work with the melody. And again, you can make any chord out of one melody note. Okay, this note can serve as a purpose in any type of chord, and that's where your harmony and theory knowledge comes into play. But we want a balance of, diatonic chords to some of your reharms that you're creating. So I can play, if I want to play A minor here, finally, on that last note, I landed on a C sus, which is more or less the type of chord that you're gonna land on in Happy Birthday, right? So let me see if I can remember that. So A minor 7, G minor 7, E flat major 7, 6. So in my A minor 7 chord, this C is serving as the third. How did I pick the A minor? I said, well, let's make the C the third. And if it's the third, it's gonna be an A minor 7 chord. That's how I came to that chord. There was no rhyme or reason to that. I'm just thinking, how can I make this note serve in a chord? And you can choose that purpose however you want it to be, right? And then you play it, and if you like the sound of it, then stay with it. Creating an arrangement is not a fast process. It's like writing music. I want people to remember that. you know, it takes time, right? That's why I haven't created an arrangement for this on the spot. I'm doing it on the spot for you guys right now. But when I create an arrangement I like I spent an hour creating an arrangement of Twinkle Twinkle by myself because I was testing chords, I was testing harmonies. Oh, do I like this? Do I not like this? That's how you compose. You know, it's like composing music. If I were just to play standard chords, as you get better at jazz, you hear the traditional harmonies that fit, right, with chords. Right, Happy Birthday has traditional chords that go with it. So we can take that framework, obviously, and tweak it slightly. I can take this progression because I know what it is and tweak it slightly, you know, and to reharm it. And those are more theory tools, though. It's not going completely outside of the box, which I want to get into today, which is why I'm doing this. So anyway, I'll get back to that in a second. But here's my complete kind of chaos reharm. So A minor. Oh, no, I did D7 altered here. Now I have a C sus with a third on top. That actually serves as an extension. Now again, if you want to add in certain notes here, that's completely up to you. Like if you want to add this, looks like people will be like, oh, you can't play a D flat here. You know what? You can play whatever you want. If you like this sound, go for it. Right? So, you know, it's kind of making me passionate right now because I forget who the pianist was. I heard a pianist with Ambrose, the trumpet player. They're doing the music of Miles Davis, and some of the harmonies were just, it was hard for me because they were so out, but they were beautiful, right? The dissonance is beautiful in a way. It's like things in life, right? You can find beauty in ugly things. It doesn't have to be, you know, just picturesque all the time, right? And we need dissonance in ugliness, in darkness, in order to balance out the light. And so that, I'm getting pretty philosophical right now, but, you know, there is beauty in that because it resolves. It's like rain and sunshine, right? When the rain goes away, you have sunshine. And then when the rain comes, you don't have the sunshine, but it's a nice change because you're going through these different changes. Anyway, all right, here, I don't know where that's coming from, but. So here we go. Now again, we have the same melody. So I can stay on this if I want. Let me see. Right, so I went A flat major 7, B flat major 7. Those chords aren't in the key of F at all, except for the B flat major 7, right? My A flat 3, and I could have used any chords that fit those notes. Let me see, so I stayed on the C sus. I can do something else here. Let's do something else. Let's do, again, I'm completely picking these at random. D flat here. B minor 7 flat 5. G flat 7. D sus. Excuse me. G sus. Let's do, let me see. Let's do G flat minor major. Right, so what did I do? See, the hard part is remembering it. Again, this is the process. I don't need to go through the whole tune to show you, but that's the process, right? I'm picking chords that relate to those melody notes. Now, again, you can do whatever you want. Now, if I'm trying to reharm the structure of the tune in a more simple manner, I can take that process, but just do it slightly. We don't want to, right now I'm going completely overboard, right? So you can do it in a small manner, right? So if we, right, to Happy Birthday, if I want to make small tweaks, I just do it to one chord, or I can slip in one chord. Right, when I go back to the C, I don't have to stay on F, I can play a different chord. So I added in one new chord, and the way I picked that chord was I was just like, hey, okay, let's make this an A flat major 7, the C will serve as a third. Oops, sorry. Right? And then here, I can go, I like that. So that was a complete guess and it turned out well, but that's what you need to do to find your reharms that you like and then just write them down. And again, this G here, I might change that because that's gonna be the flat 9 in this, on this chord, which I just had, I mean, that would still work, but I might go ahead and choose to switch that chord, but I like that a lot. So we had, okay, diminished 7, E diminished 7, F. So B flat, A flat, B flat, A flat major 7, G minor, G flat 7, E diminished, F. Now I don't particularly like that E diminished, so for another reharm for that chord, I know I have the note G, I'm going to choose a chord that this G relates to. So let's make it the sharp 11, a D flat 7 chord, and then resolve it. Now, does D flat have a connection with F? Well, you can make a basis or a claim to say any chord can connect in a certain way. Is it in the key of F? Absolutely not, right? Is it the tritone of something? Yes, it's the tritone of G, right? Which is the 2 of the key of F. So it connects in some sort of fashion, but theoretically speaking, the process that I'm taking isn't to relate it to the key of F. I'm relating it to the melody note, right? Okay, those are standard changes, right? We could reharm those, that would be nice. There's an E minor 7, okay? 11 chord, the 9. Now again, my melody, I have to go to this F, so I have to get off this F sharp. Sorry. E flat 7. Now again, I'm choosing where to go here. I don't know where to go. I'm trying to pick because I know my melody note is. So where can I go from here? I like what I've created so far. Nope, don't like that. Nope. Maybe D minor. Maybe A flat 7, this will be the sharp 5 or flat 13. Maybe the C7 again. Again, this is the process, right? This is the process I'm taking to reharm Happy Birthday. Let me find, this is gonna bother me if I don't find a chord for this. Now my ear is listening to something. I'm listening to myself, to my ear, like where I want to go. No. Maybe B sus. That might work. I like the A flat sharp 11 landing on that for the D, okay? But I don't like the B sus going to the A flat. So I'm going to choose a different chord for that E note. And again, we don't necessarily need to choose new chords for every single note, but when you're reharming, most of the melody won't fit with the chord that you've moved to, right? So again, like in this case, I had to change my chord because I can't stay on this E. I could if you want. Again, I don't want to say can't, you can, but it's going to sound like this, right? Like it's not going to sound great. I kind of like that, so D minor. So I simply resolve from my E flat 7 down to my D minor 7. That sounds really nice. So that's how I came up with that resolution, and that sounds beautiful to me. I like this, D flat sus. Again, the way I chose that is that I know the B flat can be a 13 on my sus chord, and I just went with that. So lots of harmony and theory knowledge come into play when you're trying to reharm stuff like this, but it doesn't need to be as advanced as this, right? You can make small tweaks. So where were we? You know, the tools, it's hard because I can't teach you all the tools in this one specific episode, but if you go back and listen through the podcast, even if you go into the 7-day free trial, or if you're a member of Jazz Piano School, the tools I teach give you the ability to do reharms. So I'm kind of working backwards in the podcast, or I'm going against my educational beliefs and opinions, is that you can't just learn this kind of stuff from one podcast. I mean, you can, but again, the podcast is a library, and it's not really my true belief of how to teach jazz piano, because I give the analogy of if you walk into like the George Washington Library, and there's so much knowledge there, right? There's so much knowledge. You can learn so much. No one's debating that. But if you're looking for a specific subject and you want to make small increments in that, you need a librarian, you need an assistant, a historian to go and tell you, hey, go to this book, read that first, then take out this book and read that next, because it's going to connect to this book. Once you've read those two books, then you'll be able to understand this third book, which you can go and get on level 3, row 2, right? Would you know to do that unless you had someone guiding you? Absolutely not. And unfortunately, a lot of the way jazz education is taught today, not always, okay? I'm just trying to appeal to the people who want that organized, structured manner for someone to say, okay, here are the books you need to learn, here are the steps, right? It doesn't need to be searching around like, oh, let's just, you know, go through this podcast and see what I can learn, because you're not getting all you know, it's not efficient, it's not optimal. Anyway, I don't know how I got on that tangent. The tools, right? The tools you need. So there's certain theory tools that are smaller than what we're doing, certain tritones relative to minors, sus chords, you know, movements like that, half-step movements that you can add to reharm, and those are more simple reharm tunes. So, excuse me, tools. Right? And these are just some extensions I'm adding in. There's nothing really major I'm changing about the harmony. D flat sus, just leading into my C sus, so my 5. G flat major 7, and then you can resolve it, okay? So what I'm gonna do is, look at this, I kept it short, half an hour. I'm gonna spend time creating my own arrangement for Happy Birthday. I'm gonna go through the exact process that I just went through with you guys, and I'm gonna pick chords that I like, that I think sound good. And it's dependent upon my ear. This is You know, music is a personal preference. Not everything I play or that I like or I choose to self-express myself is exactly what you're gonna like, you know what I mean? But that's why it's so great, because it gives us the opportunity to express ourselves however we want. But just like expression or painting, when we learn how to paint or when we learn how to build a house, we learn foundational tools that allow us to express ourselves however we want. When you learn how to paint, you learn how to use red, blue, yellow, green alone. Then you might learn how to use them together, right? How do you paint something with just red and blue? How do you paint something with just blue and yellow, right? And once a teacher has taught you those things, then at that point, you can start to use those tools to break outside of the box. You know, just like in building a house, when you have a hammer, saw, a screwdriver, stuff like that, alone, those tools aren't going to do much, but together, once you've learned and how to, you know, learn how to build the house, read the blueprint, put the walls up, then you can start to build any house you want and make it your own, right? And so, again, trying to dive into some of these principles in the podcast without kind of really figuring out the tools behind it can be very difficult. And I want you guys to know that. Don't get frustrated with yourselves. But I would try and revisit some of the theory tools I talked about in the podcast before, or really make sure you understand the structure of the tune just quarterly, like the harmonies of it, before you go into rearranging something as advanced and elaborate as I've done for you today. So if you guys have questions, please, please leave them on the podcast page. And that can be found on the website under podcasts. Or you can leave comments on the YouTube video if you're watching the YouTube video, or send us an email, right? info@jazzpianoschool.com if you'd like. So until then, thank you so much. If you guys have suggestions for the next podcast, feel free to email us. And I always love getting requests because it is great. I love giving you guys education. So if I don't get any requests though, I'm going to come up with my own topic. So until next time, I hope this goes well for you. So I'm going to do my own arrangement. If you go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast53, that will be the opt. I have to make this kind of clear for you guys. That will be the opt-in to receive the arrangement. If you want to get the episode, right? If you want the full episode of the podcast, you know what? I'm kind of thinking on the spot. I should just have the full episode be that. Okay. So anyway, yeah, if you go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast53, you'll see the video there and you'll see the opt-in to get the practice materials. In this case, the practice materials will be my arrangement that I've made for this episode. Okay. And that's the same thing on Twinkle. To get the Twinkle arrangement from last episode, go ahead and you can opt in for that when you go to jazzpianoschool.com and search for the podcast 52. All right, so I've talked enough. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. I hope you've enjoyed this. And until next time, happy practicing.